Leuk dat je luistert naar de Divine Business Podcast. De podcast voor ondernemers die zakelijk succes willen realiseren in samenwerking met God.
Wij zijn Laura Pelger en Tessa van Olst. Twee ambitieuze ondernemers die graag leren van de experts. Hun wijsheid en inzichten delen we in deze podcast graag met jou.
In deze aflevering luister je naar het eerste deel van ons interview met Mark en Julie Appleyard. Mark en Julie komen oorspronkelijk uit Australië, maar wonen inmiddels al geruime tijd in Amerika. Hun werk en missie is om christelijk zakelijk leiders toe te rusten om vanuit hemels perspectief praktisch leiding te kunnen geven aan hun werk en business. En daarbij tevens bewust te zijn dat hun werk relevant is voor God. Geniet in deze aflevering van de praktische wijsheid en visie die Mark en Julie met ons delen, gericht op het werken en ondernemen in de maatschappij.
So we're on.
Cool.
Great.
Introducing you to Mark and Julie Appleyard.
Yes.
From America, but actually from Australia.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Got that right.
Yeah, that's right.
She did her homework.
She did.
Very well.
She did.
We came from a long, long way away a long, long time ago.
Yes. Yes. We were introduced by a friend, and I was looking you up on the internet, and I found you at GodTV, an interview, and I found something about your books, so I want to introduce you. Working with Christian business leaders at all levels of organizational structures over the 20 years, while pastoring a local church, has exposed Pastor Mark and Julie Appleyard to the gap that exists between the current church structure's ability to equip people of influence and the need that exists among such people to be equipped. They've developed a written work, the books of yours, but also, I believe, your business as well, that will help a person at any level of business see their business is means to an end and not an end in itself. So I thought that was a beautiful introduction of the way you live, and the way you lead, and the way you coach, I think, people, the way to run their business, but especially to run their lives. Is that correct?
Amen. Sounds good. I'll sign up for that.
It sounds like a cool thing to do.
Yeah, it does.
You're doing it.
It sounds like fun. That's what's important.
I believe we have been talking for a few minutes right now, and I believe you're having fun both together. We talked about your three children already, and that you feel free now to travel the world, and they are very
independent.
Yes.
And that gives you freedom to teach and preach and lead and do business all over the world.
It's a fun stage of life, and it's been hard fought for, but it's a fun stage of life.
Yes, we did contend long and hard.
We'll have lots of people say, oh, we wish we could do what you do, and then you sit there and you go, really, do you really wish for all the things that led up to that? It's
everything what comes by.
It's always a journey.
Brings me to the first question, actually. How did you accept your calling? Because it's actually, you both feel it as a calling. And can you tell us something about the process? So how did God call you, and then we get to the vision? So, because I've been reading and listening to a lot of your interviews, and the vision is really truly that you have always been people of the marketplace, and connecting it to pastoring and leading a church as well. But business to you both has been really, you know, a privilege to be been doing and connecting it to combining it with pastoring church. And you don't want to let go of that. It's a pretty strong vision in both of your lives.
It is. We can probably go first on that.
Well, you know, it probably started 25, 24 years ago. 26 years ago when I married an electrician. I did not marry a pastor. And we knew that we wanted to be in full-time ministry in some capacity. And we had said that right from when we first started dating was one of the things. I said, I know that God's calling me to something. And he said, well, I know God's calling me to something. So as long as we're on the same page with that, we should be good. But we started on the very traditional route of becoming a pastor, becoming a Baptist pastor, which meant that I was a pastor's wife. I married an electrician, and now I'm a pastor's wife. How did that happen? So we kind of, we did that journey. We walked that journey out, and we became youth group leaders, and very quickly grew a youth group from about 30 plus kids down to maybe 5 or 6, at which point we realized that that was not our calling and not our gift mix. And then we stepped into worship ministry, and that just seemed to be that everything we touched just exploded.
That really was the entry point, wasn't
that
it?
That was worship. Entry point. And then you just did different, he did some Bible college courses, and then he started his Bachelor of Ministries. And then we just kind of, we built on and built on, and in accepting the calling for where we are now, we had to work through all of the areas where we knew we were not called. So we had to step in and try some things, and we had to actually discover that that's actually not not us. So youth ministry, not us. When we were young adults ministry was not us.
And that's what you say now when you look back, but how was it on that moment that you think, all right, we will step in and it, God will bless us, find out that it's not your thing.
It feels awful.
That particular instance with the youth ministry one, I actually handed my resignation in. Well, 6 months in, and I'm a really straight, I call it as I see it, kind of a guy. And I just said to the senior pastor, I said, well, this was an absolute disaster, wasn't it? I said, I'll resign. Yes. I said, one day we'll slap ourselves on the back and have a couple of beers and laugh about this. But right now, let's just call it what it is. This is a disaster. I'll go back. I got a number of contracts I can jump straight into. And he said, yeah, you're right. This really was not a good deal. He said, but there's something in you that I don't want to let go of. And he said, I see it in there. And then he said, have you ever thought of being a worship pastor? Now, this is in the early 90s. And I said, what's one of those? He goes, I really don't know yet. But he said, there's a church called Hillsong down in Sydney. And we were way up north of Australia. He said, down in Sydney, he said, we'll fly you down there for a couple of weeks. There's a conference, stay around there, get to meet some people and try and figure it out and see what happens. And that sort of led us then into that. And we, in that next year, we grew a worship media department from about 8 or 9 people to 50 people. Just couldn't help it. It was just, if I had 40 hours in a day, we would have done it. It was just, it was like a total turnaround. But I think to the point is that as much as anything, it is, and this is in leadership as well. When I learnt to go to job interviews and different interview type processes, telling people what they're not getting is just as important as telling them what they are getting. To be that secure in who you are is also being secure in who you are not. And I think that's as much as anything, that refining process is going, you know, it's actually okay for me not to be that. I don't have to be, and I don't feel like I should be. But I don't want to set people up for an expectation that isn't real by saying, oh, this is who I am and all this stuff. No, by the way, you're not getting that, you're not getting that, you're not getting that, but I tell you what you will get. You will get this, this and this. So therefore, staff me around me these sorts of people, because if you don't, then you won't get what you need.
But then I'm curious, how do you know when you start something or you say yes to a ministry and the success is not coming yet? Sometimes it's just about perseverance. And sometimes it's what you say, you're not the right person on the right place. So how do you know the difference?
That's a great question.
It is a good question.
How do you discern between the two? I think a lot of people want to know.
A lot of people want to know. And sometimes there are no shortcuts. Sometimes you really just do have to, okay, Lord, I'm going to persevere in this. One of the things that we've learned over the years and that we teach wherever we go, and Mark puts it this way, he said, you can't afford to not know what God's voice sounds like. You can ill afford to not know the sound of God's voice. And I think that all of that, and over all of that time, learning to hear the sound of God's voice has been the thing. If we sum it up these days, I mean, hindsight is a wonderful thing. You can look back down that tunnel of past everything and look at it and go, oh, I understand some things. I can see God's hand here and here and here. Whereas in the moment, you're on your knees, you're crying out, and you're going, what are we doing? Yeah. God, what are you doing? Like, how is this working out? But we put it this way, everything is an invitation to greater intimacy with God. So when you find yourself in those places and you don't know whether it's persevere or is this just not my calling, it's an invitation to greater intimacy. Our friend Jason down here says it's an opportunity to learn to trust God in new ways, to learn to find out a different part of his character, find out who is he for me in this moment. And if you can press in and hear God's voice, sometimes he'll say, persevere, I want to teach you some things. Sometimes he'll say, this is not what I have for you. But until you get a definitive answer, you press in and you persevere. And then through your obedience, God will open a door because he honors that. And I think so many of us tend to want to press in and persevere out of stubbornness, not out of obedience or pursuing intimacy. And I think there's a difference in motivation here that it makes all the difference. Because if you're going after it out of stubbornness, then you're just going to destroy yourself and everybody around you. Or if you're stepping out of it for the same reasons, you know, well, this is just not my thing. And maybe God wants to teach you perseverance in that. So.
Wow. Yeah, it's the opportunity to grow surer in his love. I mean, again, we have to think in terms of the 35,000 foot view. God created the heavens and the earth without us. He actually did quite a good job of it, thank you very much. And then we look at our business and we go, oh, but God needs me, I've got to. And you sit there and go, hang on a second, let's get our heads wrapped around this reality right now. The purpose for me doing the work is not so God can grow a business, it's so that I can grow deeper in that encounter. Because quite frankly, he can do it without me. Yep. He's done a very fine job of it so far. And after I die, he's going to continue to do a very fine job of it. So the whole purpose is to exist to grow sure in the encounter of his love.
Yeah. And grow deeper in intimacy with him.
Yeah, so that's right. So it's always the invitation.
Yeah, our tagline for Anathan is going further and deeper in relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what we want to inspire people towards. Whether they're in business, whether they're in ministry, whether they're whatever they're doing in life. You know, the parent who stays at home with their children it's the same calling to go deeper, further and deeper in their intimacy with God. And that's just what we encourage people towards, because wherever you are, whatever you're called to do, you cannot fail if that's what you're going after.
Wow. Really well put. Beautiful.
I have to keep reminding myself about that too, because
we can really lose ourselves in ambition, even though it's for God. We do great things for God and pursue our dreams.
Yeah.
But I see a lot of people lose themselves in it as well. Mm-hmm. I think I lost myself a lot of times as well.
Yeah.
So it's really well, beautifully put.
And the nature of calling is it's a subtle and potentially sinister thing, because it can, as much as it can draw us in, it can draw us away. And that comes when our identity gets tied to it, because we then outsource our identity to something we have no control over. And when we do that, then our emotions and our own intimacy with God rises and falls on the success or failure of what our calling is. And I see this a lot with, particularly in the pastoral side, you know, pastors that get burnt out or have affairs or whatever else happens. I'll trace it back, and I'll guarantee you somewhere along the line they've outsourced their identity and attached it to their ministry. It's 10 out of 10 times. One of the things that we do at the start of each year, I get a blank piece of paper January 1st. I go into my office and I close the doors and I put it down and I get a pencil and put it beside it. And I say, Holy Spirit, am I signing up for another year? And I wait till I get an inward witness of the Spirit, as John Wesley put it, where I know that I know that I know that he says yes or no. And so far it's always been yes. So I sign that piece of paper, I screw it up, throw it in the bin and go, okay, that's squared away for another year. Let's get on with the job. Because I need to know that I can always walk away from this, because I'm not defined by it.
Yeah.
I'm defined this way, not this way.
Your identity is in Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So it's a, but I have to do that. I know me. I have to do something like that as a circuit breaker in this whole system. Otherwise, if I go year on year on year, my identity will be subtly tangled up again in what it is that I do.
Yeah. But that's something you do like once a year. Mm-hmm. What are you doing on a daily basis?
Well, that comes into the time in the words mm-hmm. of God and that daily devotional time. It's that constant realignment with the sound of his voice. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's the way I can hear his voice when I sit down in a moment like that.
Right.
Because day after day after day, I know the inflections and the tones. I know the kinds of things he says and how he says them because I'm spending time interacting with the very words of God.
Mm.
And
you also get to know the things that he wouldn't say.
That's right.
So when someone comes along and says, you know, well, I have a word from God for you, and he says whatever. You can go, yeah, that doesn't sound like God.
Mm.
You know, if someone came to me and said, you know, Mark said, what would Mark never say?
Oh, gosh,
probably
a number of things.
Mark says, I hate coffee. I don't like the smell of it. I'm never going to drink it ever again. I would say that's not Mark.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I would know because he would never say anything like that.
Yeah.
And the more time you spend in the words of God, the more you get to know exactly who he is, what his nature and character is, the sorts of things he says, but also the sorts of things he would never say.
And there is no shortcut for that.
Right.
If there was a shortcut, we would have found it. And there is no shortcut for that.
Yeah. That's what true love does also, right? So that is our main purpose in life, is to connect and be related with God. So he wants us to get to know him
by
his word, by his spirit, by just asking all these questions and putting our hearts before him.
That's
what you're saying right now. There's no shortcut to that.
And Romans 8:16 says it so succinctly: for God's spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. So the whole identity question is a spirit to spirit, pneuma to pneuma connection. Any desire to go after identity apart from that is always going to leave you bankrupt in your spirit. It's always about bringing alignment, your spirit to God's spirit, and that's where the affirmation comes.
Wow. Yeah, beautiful.
So I guess probably just in, it's all sort of coming, in summary, the calling primarily is the calling as a son or daughter, not to a task.
Yeah.
It's a call to identity. We haven't read your books yet, but I think your books are about the subject as well, right?
Very much so.
You're much about love and the love of God through pastoring, but also through business.
Through pastoring in business.
I think that's been, if there's one thing that marks what we do, is that we are erasing the line between ministry, business. They're actually all the same. And that's been a key thing that we feel like we're really pushing into and smashing those barriers down at every turn. That a person turning up Monday morning to their task has got just as much influence and impact as a person standing behind a pulpit.
And with the same Monday. Calling or purpose.
And sometimes with more favour and more influence.
Oh, that's right.
Over the people
that they
interact with. And we need to be able to equip, empower, encourage, and release those people that already have that kind of favour and influence over people. Because why wouldn't we?
I think a lot of times, and what I heard and what I read about how your vision is that a lot of people, they feel a calling and they think it's another position somewhere else. But actually what you teach is, you know, you're called within the position you're
That's exactly right.
You start to pursue God's thing for you.
It's sort of trying to find a helpful answer to the why question. Why turn up anywhere and be?
Why go to work every morning?
And we were teaching, we just came back from on this trip, we've just been in Norway, and we were teaching last weekend. There's a Kingdom Business Network there called the Hygge Business Network, based off the revival culture of Hans Nielsen Hygge. Which is story for another day, but phenomenal revivalist that most of the world has forgotten about. Well worth exploring if you're into revival culture. But one of the things there that we were teaching about was that there's actually only, if you look at building what God is building, there is actually only one set of plans. There's not 20 different sets of plans. There's just one set of plans. There's different ways of building it, but there's one set of plans. And those set of plans are simply this. It's building big people with Jesus in them.
Yep.
That's the set of plans. And so whatever it is we do is a vehicle to build that. It's never less than that. It's never more than that. Because as we do that, the encounter with God's always perfect love comes alive. The fulfillment of the Great Commission is at the central piece of why we do what we do. And we all get about the same task. But when you've got 1,000 different sets of plans floating around, then everybody's building different things. And then there's conflicts and there's issues.
Yeah.
But if we all get back to the simple, single set of plans of building big people with Jesus in them, then actually things get a whole heap simpler. And we know why we're turning up to do anything, whether it be preaching or a kids ministry program or CEO of a major company.
Yeah.
Or a mum at home or a dad at home or whatever it is.
Yeah. Or a clothes shop.
That's right. We're building big people with Jesus in them, and that's my vehicle and tools for doing that.
Right.
Yeah.
Can you be more specific about what are your spaces right now? What is the place where you are doing that?
We sort of call it the ABC.
With Anathan.
Yeah. So the A is Anathan Access, which is the creation of fresh, original content.
Mm-hmm.
So creating access to that.
Yeah. So that's the creation of content for teaching for our micro churches, which comes in under the C part, so we'll get to that.
Yeah.
But creating content as far as writing books, Mark's started the process. I've started thinking about the process of writing another couple of books. And inspirational stuff to put up on our app and the app.
Yeah.
Creating an app over the last few months has been, or the last few weeks has been his thing. Creating that content that we can put out there that's short, to the point, challenging, and something that people can act on.
Yeah.
We don't want to just put out, that was a really nice thing to say, and that was inspirational, that was great. But how can I act on that?
Wow. Yeah.
And how can I, how do we challenge people to actually take that on board and apply it to their lives?
Yeah.
And then we've got others now that are wanting to write under that. We have our own publishing house brand as well. And actually, we're just in Orlando teaching for a week before we came out here, and there was a young lady there that's a writer and also a musician, and she's going to come underneath that banner.
And
we've got a couple of others that also are going, hey, can we look at exploring that as well? So we love what you do and we want to come under that same umbrella. So we've done released later this year. We've created a worship album called The Encounter Project that's underneath the Anathan Worship label as well. So there's all sorts of things like that that's under Access. So that's one expression. Business coaching and consulting is another expression. In the last 3 years, we've been working with business leaders across 18 different countries now. And it's just been incredible, from CEOs of multi-billion dollar companies right through to young startups and everybody in between.
Wow.
And so that's another expression of that. And then, the micro communities. I'm with the business side is also speaking at conferences in different countries as well. The micro community side, of which Julie is over. So we have these three separate business arms. We have the publishing house business arm, the business consulting. They're all for profit, but now we have a global not for profit as well, which is Anathan Global Ministries, and Julie is the executive director of that. And where it connects in with business particularly is that we're finding this across the world. There is an increasingly large number of people that are exiting the local church from business because they can't connect to it and it can't connect to them.
Yeah.
So what we're finding is that this is not, it's not in competition to the local church. We still preach at churches all the time. But what we've created is a middle space where people can now connect and go, I can actually do this. And I can still run and fly in my business. And my business now is ministry. And they're supported in that to run in that. So
you're talking about a business ministry a lot. Can you be more specific how it looks like? So when you're when someone is listening and he's a businessman and he's a Christian as well, but he actually don't know how to combine these two. Can you give some practical...
Yeah. So in effect, what we do is we try and help a business person, first of all, learn how to pastor themselves. The hardest person to lead is yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot easier to lead other people than to lead this thing right here, the person that stares in the mirror. So first of all, it's learning how to pastor yourself, then pastor your family, then pastor your business. The concentric circles should go out.
Yeah.
And all too often, again, business leaders going, well, my people are really great and whatever, but my marriage is falling apart, or internally I've got an addiction to 10 other different things or whatever it might be. So they're creating all these behaviors that can be sustained until the next major trial, tragedy, trauma, or tribulation comes their way, and then the whole house of cards falls down. But if we start internally, again, this relationship, the vertical relationship, the person and God, and pastor that and get some sort of sense of, you know, the only time we're told to control anything in the Bible is self, self-control. I can't control you. I'm not that powerful. You can't control me. You're not that powerful. But I can control this thing right here. And so that's the genesis. It's the nucleus. It's the ground zero for everything we do is right in this place. So learning how to pastor that and bring this into alignment with the value system of heaven is first and foremost. And then those values flow out into family. And now there's congruency between what's going on internally to what's going on in my family, which then makes my leadership a natural outflowing of that.
Yeah.
So now my leadership has credibility and integrity. Mm-hmm. Because no matter where you look, you fire an arrow through those concentric circles to the heart, you see the same thing. Yeah. So it always has to start right here and flow out from there. So what does it look like? It looks like helping people learn to hear the voice of God for themselves, coach them in that. When our coaching calls, we sort of break it up into three lots of 20. They normally go for about an hour. First 20 minutes is asking, hey, what are you hearing from God and what are you learning? And they thought, well, in my business this week it was that, or in my family, or in my own life was A, B, and C. While they're doing that, I'm listening this way, and I go, you know what, that's really amazing. I'm hearing about three or four questions right now. I'm going to give you 20 minutes with the call still open to go and press into those questions.
With
the Holy Spirit. That's right. Mm-hmm. Then they come back, and I say, now, what did you get? Well, I got this, this, and this. Now, all I do is I put wheels on what Holy Spirit's already told them. I got the easiest job in the world. I'm helping them partner with Holy Spirit. Yeah. They don't want to know what I think. I mean, that's the most stupid question in the world is, what do you think I should do? You don't want to know that. You want to know what he thinks. Let me help you with that. Because there are going to be plenty of times you got questions and I'm nowhere to be found. But Holy Spirit is always with you.
So actually the first thing they have to do is pestering themselves and really listen to the voice of God. What do you want me to be? And who do you want me to be? And then pastoring the family. And then you build up leadership. It's natural. And then go into your business or ministry or things like that.
Exactly right. That's getting the cart and the horse in the right order.
And when you are at that phase, so when you are you pastor yourself, you pastor your family, you hear the voice of God in that areas, and then you go in business. How does it look like? What can a strong businessman who want to collaborate with the Holy Spirit, what can he do? How can he act?
Good question.
Yeah, good question.
No, honestly,
look, it's, again, there are no shortcuts. We teach a very simple tool that helps you read and interact with the Bible so that you can read the Bible and understand it, because for any person at any given time, there's always going to be a season in their life where the Bible feels dry and the Bible feels irrelevant to what we're doing right now, right? You know, I run a clothes shop, so how is the Bible relevant to what I'm doing? And helping people to connect with the Word of God so that it becomes relevant to them. If we can get a business leader who is a Christian, who loves God, but who is just not quite getting that kind of connection with the Word of God, if we can just tweak them just that little bit, get them in the Word of God, that's all we need to do, because now he's realigned and he's running in the direction that God wants. And it's nothing that we're controlling. It's nothing that we're saying, well, you need to be realigned 20 degrees or 2 degrees. It's you all you need to be able to do is hear the voice of God, because if we can get them doing that, then it's the Holy Spirit's business to do the rest. There's been a lot of legalism in the church. When I grew up, it was, you know, you must have a quiet time every day. You must read your Bible for 20 minutes every day. A really good Christian will read for about half an hour or an hour every day. And, you know, a super spiritual person is going to read the Bible for hours every day and be on their knees praying for, you know, like we think that extending the time that we're doing something is going to bring about a different result. And we've often put it this way. It's like, you know, the old style radios that you get where you've got the tuning button and the volume button, and it's just off the station. It's just not quite tuned right. But in order to hear it better, we crank up the volume. So what you get is a lot of as well as the really soft voice in the middle. There's still a lot of noise, and we're just turning up the noise. So doing the same things with greater intensity, turning up the volume, isn't going to help us hear God's voice any clearer. We need to actually learn how to just tune that so that it gets right on the station, so you eliminate the white noise and you get his voice. Ah, now I'm hearing that really, really clearly. I don't have to have the volume cranked right up. I don't have to spend hours and hours and hours. I just have to discipline myself and align my heart to hear him for half an hour a day, 40 minutes a day. I started with 5 minutes a day because half an hour a day felt like, oh, there's no way I can make myself concentrate for that long. There's just no way. Well, I started with 5 minutes a day. His challenge to me was, you get ready in the morning, you clean your teeth, you brush your hair, you shower, you do whatever, you've got to get dressed. Why not make it part of your getting ready routine before you go out the door? 5 minutes turned into 10 minutes, quickly turned into 20 minutes, quickly turned into an hour, quickly turned into, I don't have enough time. Like, and now my perfect day is in my pajamas, in my chair, with my cup of tea and my cat and my Bible and my journal. And I can sit there for 4 hours, 5 hours, and the time just goes, and I'll look up and go, wow, it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon already. Where did that time go? Because you've got to build into it. You've got to build up your fitness for it. You don't run a marathon on the first day. You've got to train yourself for it. And I think that, to your point and to your question, what does a business leader do? A business leader needs to discipline himself, and he needs to start somewhere, and then he needs to build on it, and you just need to do it.
So the outworking of that is, and it's totally predicated on what Julie said, is the ability to hear the sound of the conversation of heaven over a person at any given time in workplace. A working example of that is, well, probably two, but one specifically. So I was at lunch one day with a very prominent elected official in our community, and we're in a restaurant, and between that person and I, there was probably only 5% of the people in that room that we didn't know. But in America, as an elected official seen in a room with a pastor, that's that the whole church state issue thing is right there. So you've got to be really careful sort of what you're doing. And this guy wasn't a believer, but he'd seen what we'd been doing and just liked spending time with me. Well, we're in conversation, just normal like this. And I get this, like, this picture and this prophetic picture of over this guy. And I was going, I can't say that in here. This is going to be really weird. So I'm just sitting as we're talking. I said, Lord, I refuse to open my mouth. Do you give me the language to release it in a way that makes sense in this context and to that man? And I just sat there and I just waited. I was not going to open my mouth till I had the language. And then the language came, and I'll call him Frank. And I just said, he was mid-sentence. I said, Frank, can I just press pause for a second? I said, there's something I really feel I need to share. He goes, oh, yeah, okay. I said, why are you talking? I said, I'm really sensing something right here. And I said, it's to do with who you are. I said, you know, I look at this town, I look at this city and all of those things. And I said, there are lots of great things you stand for, lots of policies, amazing things. And I really do celebrate those things that you've been doing and pressing hard on behalf of our community. But I said, there's one thing even greater that you do. And I don't know if you realize it. And it's the very thing that this city needs. And it's who you are. He goes, what's that? I said, it's a father. I said, you are a father of this city. And I said, you do that so well. I said, even sitting in this restaurant as people have come and interacted with us, I've looked at your demeanor and the way that you've interacted with them. And I said, that's the heart of a father. And I said, it's one of the most phenomenal things to watch. Well done. Well, he just starts weeping. And then he looks right at me and he goes, how did you know that? I said, great question. I said, well, we were talking this way. I was listening this way. And I believe that's what God's saying over you right now. And I just affirm that in you. And I say, well done. And it just blew his mind that it really touched his heart. I never had to convince him that God exists. He felt it internally. Mm, right. But I used the language of heaven that was spoken over him at the time. But I could never do that if I didn't know how to hear the voice of God in the quiet places day after day after day after day after day after day. In the middle of the moment, in the marketplace, bang, God gets released, the power of God released in the life of a powerful, influential person.
Wow. That's a great testimony. That's really strong.
Yeah. That is the outworking of what you do.
Yeah.
Mm. What you do in the quiet places where nobody's looking matters.
Mm.
And I think that's probably... the shorter way of saying everything that we've talked about.
Yeah.
So
definitely.
So what I hear you say is that when you teach yourself and train yourself to encounter God and hear his voice in your quiet time for yourself, for your family, then in your business, at tough conversations, at tough decision making, and when you're in front of a very important customer or a future customer or whatever, then you can hear the voice of God and you can do the right thing.
Yes.
But
it starts.
It's in encountering God in your quiet place.
Yeah. Amen. Even the nature of conflict resolution, that's a real big one. I just came away from the conference out at Bethel, which we just attended this time, but that was all around conflict resolution. The nature of that is, you know, usually it's about who's right and who's wrong. But when we look at it from the position of identity, if everything is about intimacy, it's actually about how do I restore you back to your true identity? Rather than who's right or who's wrong. Wayne Cordero said it as succinctly as anybody I've ever heard. When he said something, one time he had a really... Wayne Cordero is a pastor at New Hope in Hawaii. Well worth researching, just the significance of what they've done out there. The last time we spoke with Pastor Wayne, since the late 90s, there's been over 130,000 conversions out there. It's off the chart revival. Anyway, but he had a difficult... person on his staff that had reacted poorly towards one of the office secretaries. And the guy came in and he said, you know, he said, Fred, he said, judging by your behavior, I believe in your future more than you do right now. Wow. And what's he doing? He's restoring him back. He's inviting him into his fullness of his identity. The Fred that I know and that I see in you is not the Fred that you're displaying right now. How do we get you back to this? Because that right there, that's not who you are. This is who you are. And I want to give you an opportunity to rise up to that again. So it's a conflict resolution is all about restoration of identity. It's always about intimacy with the Father.
Just so inspirational.
Thank you.
It's an honor. Thank you. It is an honor. And bless you guys and what you're doing too. Well done.
Thank you.
Well done. Yeah. Well, Lord, may the meanderings of our mind be lost forever, but the truth of anything you've said deposit in our hearts, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Great.
Leuk dat je hebt geluisterd naar deze podcast. Als je geïnspireerd bent geraakt, deel het dan op je social media en tag ons @DivineBusinessPodcast. En als je op de hoogte wilt blijven, zodra er een nieuwe aflevering online komt, abonneer je dan even op dit kanaal. En als je dat toch doet, zouden we het leuk vinden als je een review achterlaat over hoe deze podcast jouw leven inspireert. We zien je graag de volgende keer tijdens een nieuwe aflevering van de Divine Business Podcast.